The first reading today, we hear the story of what one could easily call Middle Eastern hospitality. To this very day, if you go to the Middle East, if you are a guest in someone's home, they will roll out everything for you. They look at you as, because you are the guest, they have total responsibility for you. And whatever they have, they will give it to you. It is a beautiful thing, the generosity of these people. It's something that we don't tend to have. And yet we see not only the generosity of Abraham, but even the patience of the angels when they came to talk to Abraham. Think about it. Abraham didn't say, look, I've got some stuff in the refrigerator, and welcome, and I'll get something for you. Like, no, he runs over to Sarah and said, quick, need some flour and make some rolls. It's like, well, they didn't even have ovens that they could just flip on and make some rolls, and even if they did, they're still going to take about, what, an hour or something to make. And that was the easy part, because now he's going to go and slaughter a cow, and then they have to butcher it and then roast it. I mean, we're not talking about a 5-minute thing. They had to really make an effort to do this. And the people that were waiting had to be very patient. And so we see the charity on both sides of that. Again, for most of us, think about it, if you're on a journey and you stop in someplace, say you stop in to fill up with gas, you're really not normally interested in staying around for a couple of hours while they're doing this and that and the other thing. And yet we see that patience and that charity. And we see the great charity in Abraham and in Sarah. And it's a great opportunity for each one of us to ask the question, do I have that kind of charity? Do I have the charity that really seeks to serve others? It's something that I hear about regularly with the elderly people. In funeral after funeral after funeral, they tell me all about this person who died and how we could always count on this person, and they were always there, and they were always so giving, and always this. And you ask, well, is anybody else in the family like it? No. Like, right, we're losing an entire generation of people who knew how to do this. And they've given us all an example, and most of us have not learned from that. But when we look at what happened at the end of that reading, when the angel, and at this point Abraham doesn't know that these are angels, but when the angel looks at Abraham and says, where is your wife Sarah? He says, they're in the tent. He says, I'll come back next year at this time, and Sarah's going to have a baby. Now, naturally, he would go, wow, that's cool. Sarah was 90. That's not just cool, that's amazing. Sarah might not have thought so, but anyway, it's astounding. The reward that God gave to Abraham, the fulfillment of the promise that God had made that Abraham would have a son, that would be the one who would be his heir and the one with whom the covenant would be passed to. And we see that in a great act of charity, that was the reward. So it wasn't just that he did something kind, but God, who will never be outdone in generosity, is going to bless your charity if you're willing to do that. Now, we hear the same thing in the gospel, where we have Martha, who is doing all this serving, and Mary is there listening to our Lord. And it sounds, in the way that it's presented, that God kind of put Martha down. Martha, Martha, you're worried and anxious about so many things. It wasn't putting her down for serving. He wasn't putting her down for the charity. He was putting her down because she was looking for attention. Tell my sister to help me. In other words, look at what I'm doing, look at what she's doing, and shouldn't you be telling her to get up and do something for me? Like, no, 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 no. But that becomes, again, something all of us have to look at, is what is our disposition? What is our motivation? If we are going to do an act of charity, it needs to be an act of charity. In other words, we're doing this for the good of the other. Many of us, we will do something nice for somebody, sometimes grumbling under our breath the entire way, sometimes thinking thoughts like, well, they better be grateful for what I'm doing after all. Now it's not just an act of charity anymore. Now we've got our selfishness in the way. Why are we doing what we're doing? Abraham was rewarded for what he did, but he didn't say, hey, if I take care of these guys, maybe I'll get a reward for this. No, he was just simply serving these three men. You notice there was nothing selfish in it for him. And by the way, Abraham was 100 at that point. So he's not just a chipper young guy, so when it says that he ran down to have him slaughter the cow, I mean, he's having to really put himself out to do this. So how many times when we're inconvenienced do we have that kind of disposition? Something for us to think about. And what becomes important then is what the church gives to us in the reading that goes with this, and that's in the second reading, where St. Paul speaks to the Colossians and says something that is so important for all of us to hear and understand. He said, I make up in my flesh for what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, the church. So you look at Jesus on the cross and you say, what's lacking? Well, nothing. It's like, well, then why would St. Paul say this? What Jesus did in his mercy and in his charity, what he did for us. But he loves you and me so much that he gives us an opportunity to be a part of this. And if I were to simply say to you today, not if you didn't have any idea what we were talking about, I were to say to you, look, I'm giving you two options. You can actually have a part in the single greatest act of charity that humanity has ever known. Or you can sit back like a total bystander and you can watch that act happen for everyone else. I would hope that we would all say, I want to be part of it. If I can actually have a part in that thing, I mean, we're talking about the single greatest thing humanity has ever known. I want to be part of it. It's exactly what Jesus is offering you, to be a part of this, not just to be the recipient of what it is that he has done for you, which we all need to do, just like these men in the first reading had to receive the charity of Abraham. And Abraham, in turn, had to receive the charity of these men. So we have to receive what Jesus is giving. But he is offering to you and me an opportunity to be a part of what he is doing, which is the salvation of souls, which is the redemption of the world. We're not just passive partakers or recipients of what he did. He is giving you a chance to literally be a part of it. In other words, he did everything that we wouldn't, which means about 99.9%, leaving the little tiny bit that was left for the rest of humanity, for the rest of history. Now you have to ask yourself the question, am I willing to do that? Number one, do I want to do it? Number two, am I willing to do it? Now, mind you, that's going to be a little inconvenient at times. Well, that's when we can look back and see what Abraham did. This was pretty inconvenient. Yet he was willing to inconvenience himself for the sake of someone else. I think if we look back to the time of Jesus, we'd have to say, that was rather inconvenient. There were a whole lot of other things that he could have been doing that afternoon instead of being up on a cross. That was pretty inconvenient. Did you hear him complain once? Do we hear anything about him grumbling? Do we hear him asking the question or saying, I hope these people recognize what I'm doing for them. They better be grateful. No, he's not doing that. He's just simply doing this for you and me. And as part of his love for us, he's saying, do you want to be a part of this? Are you willing to do this for others? Now you might look at it and say, well, why would this need to be? Because the work of redemption continues in our day. It's like, yeah, but didn't he do it all on the cross? No. He continues to do it at Mass. What's going to happen here in just a couple of minutes is you are literally going to be at Calvary. The crucifixion of Jesus, the sacrifice of our Lord, is going to take place. Bread and wine are going to be changed into the Lord. It will be his passion, his death, and his resurrection. Now again, you can just be passive bystanders. You can just kneel there and you can watch what's happening up here. But that's not what Jesus is asking of you. He's asking you to be part of it. How? In the Eucharist, our blessed Lord does not suffer. But it's his sacrifice. And you cannot separate suffering from sacrifice. So if he doesn't suffer in the Eucharist, where's the suffering coming from? You and me. So I'm going to turn to you in a couple of minutes and I'm going to say, pray that my sacrifice and yours will be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. What's your sacrifice? The suffering, the struggles, the inconveniences, the difficulties, the problems in your life that you bring with you here and put them up there with the bread and put them into the chalice with the wine so that at the moment that the consecration happens, ordinary elements of bread and wine are turned into Jesus and your suffering and mine are turned into his suffering. That is the dignity that God is giving to you and to me. To be a part of this, not just the recipients of what he's doing, which is what happens when we receive the Holy Eucharist, but when you receive communion, you're also to be loving him. You receive his love, and you give yourself to him as he's giving himself to you. Well, that's exactly what happens at the sacrifice. He's giving himself for you. And in the Eucharist, he gives himself to you. Put your suffering up there. There's not a single one of us here, including the babies, who doesn't have suffering. Babies don't know how to offer the suffering, I get that, but they let you know when they're suffering. They get hungry, they scream, little things happen to them, they're uncomfortable. So it doesn't matter how old you are, you've got some suffering. I can guarantee it. And we have done everything in our power to try to make sure that we remove all suffering from our lives. Guess what? It doesn't work. God's got an infinite imagination, so we figure out how to get rid of this disease or that disease or this problem or that problem. We can take this pill so my knees don't hurt anymore. We can take that one so I don't have a headache. Fine. He just comes up with some new ones. Says, good, you don't suffer with that anymore, we'll give you this. Whatever it happens to be, maybe it's a relational thing. Maybe it's family issues. Maybe they're physical things. Maybe they're mental things. Maybe they're emotional things. We all have things that we're suffering with. Don't waste it. If all you're doing is suffering but doing nothing with it, what good is it? It's just suffering. It's the suffering of Jesus that brought about our salvation. And you have the opportunity to be part of it. That your suffering becomes his. You are a member of the mystical person of Jesus Christ. How is the Eucharist offered? It's the mystical sacrifice of Jesus, the mystical representation of the sacrifice of Jesus. Well, if that's happening mystically, and so is the suffering. The members of the mystical body of Christ bringing their sufferings, their struggles, their difficulties, their problems, whatever it is, and putting them there with his sacrifice, so that your human suffering becomes divine. Think about that. Look at the gift that God is offering to you. You literally have the opportunity to participate in the single greatest thing that has ever happened in the history of the world. To receive it and to be a part of it. So what's our answer going to be? I hope and pray that all of us will say, I want to be part of that. So when the priest turns and prays that prayer, make sure that you're putting yourself up there with him. When the bread and wine are offered, put your stuff up there too. Just offer it to the Lord from your heart. And when that sacrifice takes place, when the words of consecration are prayed, it's not just bread and wine that are changed. It's your suffering and mine as well, united with it. And it all becomes the person of Jesus Christ. And it becomes the means by which his work of salvation and the redemption of the world is continued. That is the kind of charity that we are being called to. It may be a little bit of a struggle. It may be an inconvenience. But that's okay. It wouldn't be suffering if it weren't. So, on one hand, accept it. And on the other hand, offer it. Don't whine and complain about it, because then it loses its power. Unite it with the suffering of Jesus and be a part of the salvation of souls and the redemption of the whole world.